Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the Accomplished Radio Morning Show. I'm your host, Darlene Willman, the publisher of Accomplished Magazine, and very excited to have our great guest for our show today. And before I actually bring him on the show, just want to remind everyone that the newest issue has just been published for Accomplished Magazine, and you can go and get your free subscription at accomplishmagazine.com. And if this is your first time joining us on the Accomplished Radio Show, we're really glad you found us. In fact, we've had close to 13,000 listeners tuning into our show every weekday. And if you'd like to listen to our show again or have your friends tune in to hear our interview, today's show will actually rebroadcast all day at accomplishmagazine.com. And it's also available as an MP3 download that you can get at iTunes and take it with you and listen on your iPhone or iPad or whatever you want to use for your player. And we also want to encourage you to look us up on Facebook. Our group has grown to over 700 members, and it's just growing every day, and we've got some great discussions out there on sharing your accomplishments. In fact, we'd love for you to send us your stories about the accomplishments that you've been achieving. And again, you can do that at accomplishmagazine.com. If you've been listening to our show, you know I usually interview someone new every day and share their accomplishments with you. And today's guest is not only highly accomplished, but he's also highly productive. His name is David Allen, and he's widely known as the world-leading expert on personal and organizational productivity. His 30-year pioneering research and coaching to corporate managers and CEOs of some of America's most prestigious corporations and institutions has earned him Forbes recognition as one of the top five executive coaches in the U.S. and Business 2.0 magazine's inclusion in their 2006 list of the 50 Who Matter Now. Time magazine called his flagship book, Getting Things Done, the definitive business self-help book of the decade. Fast Company magazine called David one of the world's most influential thinkers in the arena of personal productivity for his outstanding programs and writing on time and stress management, the power of aligned focus and vision, and his groundbreaking methodologies in management and executive peak performance. David is the internationally best-selling author of Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity, Ready for Anything, 52 Productivity Principles for Work and Life, and Making It All Work, Winning at the Game of Work and the Business of Life. He is the engineer of GTD, the popular Getting Things Done methodology that has shown millions how to transform a fast-paced, overwhelming, overcommitted life into one that is balanced, integrated, relaxed, and has more successful outcomes. GTD's broad appeal is based on the fact that it is applicable from the boardroom to the living room to the classroom. It is hailed as life-changing by students, busy parents, entrepreneurs, and corporate executives. David is the founder and chairman of the David Allen Company, whose inspirational seminars, coaching, and educational materials and practical products present individuals and organizations with a new model for winning at the game of work and business of life. He continues to write articles and essays that address today's ever-changing issues about living and working in a fast-paced world while sustaining balance, control, and meaningful focus. Well, welcome to our show today, David. Are you with us?
I'm delighted to be here, darling. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic. So glad you're here today. And, well, first of all, congratulations. I mean, wow, what incredible accomplishments. I'm just so impressed by everything that you have done. And you may not know this, but I've been one of your biggest fans, and you've been one of my mentors for many years. So I'm really grateful you took time out of your day to be here. And, you know, I've read Getting Things Done years ago, and, you know, I've got the audio book and everything, and I'm rereading it and listening to it again now, and you've re-inspired me to get more productive. So thank you so much for being here with us.
It's my pleasure. And by the way, after all those accolades, we should just shut up and stop right here. I think the myth is better than the reality, but I'm happy to be transparent and let you know how, I really need to practice what I preach too, so I'm fellow
student. Sometimes you get through all these accomplishments so quickly, you don't realize, wow, all that stuff really happened. And
yeah, well, I did just do the big turn, where I'm now officially a senior citizen, so I figure I can, if you stick with it long, there's a key to success. It's called endure.
I agree. I definitely agree. And I've got the gray hair, too, coming on.
Keep the same phone number. Just keep the same phone number and keep doing what you're doing. You get better at it,
There you go. I'd love for you to share the David Allen methodology. So tell me about that.
Sure. Well, the simple freeze-dried concentrated version of it is keep any and every potentially meaningful thing, thought or input or idea or whatever, out of your head in some trusted bucket that you then, sooner than later, rummage through and take each one of those and decide exactly what they mean to you, exactly what your commitment is about them, and then park the results of that thinking in appropriate categories so that then you can step back and on a regular basis review the whole inventory of all of your commitments with yourself and other people at all the multiple horizons, and then make sure you're looking at all the horizons you've got commitments at in terms of the big view, where are you going, what's important to you, as well as the smaller things you need to finish and do, and then trust your gut about what you do about the whole thing.
I really like that, and I've always been a person that's done a lot of lists, but I've tried to get a handle on it. And in fact, this year I've made a big commitment to be a master of my own time. And, I'm really taking full control over it. That's why the whole month of January I decided, the Accomplished Radio Show is broadcast every day. And so we decided to do theme shows this in January. And productivity, time management, goal setting and organizational tips, all those things are covered this month. And, there's just a lot of things that come up. And, there's so many things that people are trying to take on and trying to do. And a lot of people that are drawn to Accomplish Magazine obviously want to accomplish more. so we're adding more and more things, on our to-do list. But, I know that some of the things that you talk about, getting things done can actually eliminate stress. And I think a lot of us struggle with stress because we're trying to handle so much. And, I know that that's something that, perhaps you've got some words of advice or ideas on how to manage that a little bit better.
Well, the great book called Flo, and I can't pronounce his last name. I've only met a few people who could. It's a marvelous idea that you really are in your zone in that appropriate balance between a challenge but not being overwhelmed by your challenge. If you had no challenge, you'll be bored. If you have too much challenge, you'll be in anxiety. And so you really kind of want to be in that middle place where you're stretching and you're growing. If you didn't have stress, you'd never grow or expand or really express yourself. But that's sort of the creative stress that says, look, I want to be here and I'm not there yet, so there's some delta or gap between my vision of what I would like to have as an improved situation in some way, and there's a gap between there and where I am. And that creates the stress. It's the stress that gets you to get up and walk out of a room. It's the stress that causes you to make a painting or to do something that I need to fulfill something or I need to express or expand or get somewhere that I'm not. So that you don't want to get rid of that. As a matter of fact, that is what you want to be engaged with positively. I think when we talk about stress, we're usually referring to the negative side of it that says, gee, I want to do this, but I can't do that, and there's no way out. And basically, you're not constructively engaged with all the elements, appropriately. And that's what GTD is really about. It's not really about getting things done. I mean, it's a big secret here. It's really about getting appropriately engaged with your world. But appropriate engagement with your world is a mouthful. That's kind of everything you just said really is another way of saying people just want to be appropriately engaged with their world. I tell people, look, I'm not just saying that you should set goals. I'm saying if you want to accomplish things in life for which some defined outcomes are going to be necessary to accomplish those, you'd better be setting goals, otherwise you won't be appropriately engaged with your life. But it's not up to me to tell you what your life is. It's up to you to define what that is. And that may look like a lot of different things. So GTD is not about trying to, you know, structure inappropriately structures or outcomes or goals, you know, or to get people inspired about things that aren't necessarily real. It's about just really understanding what's really true. And, you know, I think most people, the reason a lot of people think of my stuff as structure and organization is because that is kind of the weak suit. I think most people have really overcommitted and are just not that conscious with how many things they've committed to. And so they need more structures and better organization to manage that inventory. But some people are too organized. They're using organization as a way to avoid the bigger game they need to be playing, the bigger things they need to be stretching into. So it's really about the balance of those things. How do I balance sort of my creativity with enough structure? Because if you don't have the appropriate structure, you can then overcreate, and then the stuff will back up on you. And I think that's where a lot of professionals are right now. They've just really overcreated, and their systems really haven't caught up with them with what they've committed to do. And a lot of what I've done was just to discover that, in truth, you don't have to sit down and try to do a lot of things. You know, with the turn of the new year, my coaching to everybody has been, don't set New Year's resolutions, please. Just clean house. You know, all you got to do is clean up, and there's a part of you that's going to be so creative automatically, you can't help but being inspired about new goals. So, yes, follow your inspiration, but don't go try to make a bunch of things happen just out of the shouldness. You know, wow, I should do this and I should do that. I think a lot of people just need to really, you know, sort of catch up with the things, with the current realities of the things that they're committed to do and got themselves wrapped around, and then they'll find a lot more freedom just automatically flowing. And that's really, I think, what you want, is that to be in that flow where you're kind of in your zone and time disappears.
Absolutely. You know, I just started, in the last issue, as I was kind of writing just a little note to people that get the magazine, I talked a lot about letting go and saying no, because there's a lot of things in life that you know, we're doing that we don't need to, you know, and that we're either doing it for someone else or we're finding ourselves trapped in that that endless cycle of, well, if I keep pushing this and if I keep working really hard, it's going to work. And yet when you finally have to realize it's not taking me where I want it to go, I've got to get off this bus,
yes,
so to speak. You know, that's kind of when that reality hits that, you know, and I love the term cleaning house. Kind of like I started doing, instead of a to-do list, is to not-do list. You know, I started putting
good idea.
Things I can get rid of, you know, and it feels good to let go of that.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, a lot of what the GTD process is getting it all externalized so you can see everything you're not doing and make that okay, because you can truly only do one thing at a time. So, you know, half empty, half full. You're either feeling good that talking to me right now or listening to me right now is exactly what you need to be doing in your life, or you're feeling really bad that you're doing this, but there are 643,000 other things you could or should be doing. Well, that's not a comfortable place to be. You know, but as I say, you can only feel good about what you're not doing when you know what it is. And very few people really have kept track of all the things that they're not doing. So to your point, sure, make a big list of every single thing you're not doing right now and say, yes, that's okay. And I think that does take, you know, a little bit of courage to do that, because you're going to have to step up to the plate of all the things that you either, because you wanted other people's improvement or you wanted your own improvement, you know, you committed to. Because you weren't willing to say no on the front end, but you're going to learn. You're going to have to say it on the back end, and just be conscious about it, and kind of step up to that plate.
You know, I know a lot of people really struggle with procrastination, and a lot of this stems from either the fear of not wanting to do it, or that anxiety of the unknown, or perhaps it's just that the tedious part of it, you know. Now, what do you think? Why do you think people procrastinate so much, David?
I think perfectionism is one of the biggest ones. I don't want to put it out unless it's perfect. And, gee, if I start on it, it's not going to be perfect, so I don't even want to start on it, because then I'll be forced to deal with something that's not perfect. You know, so we'll tend to avoid to put something, you know, to even get engaged with something. Basically, you'll avoid things that you feel like that you'll be out of control about. And so if I want to write the great American novel, but I don't even know how to start, throwing myself in front of a computer to try to start to write throws me out of control. So we really don't want to feel out of control. You usually won't procrastinate about things that you see an easy path. That's why getting rid of the barriers to entry. You know, getting rid of, what are my barriers to entry to exercise? Well, let me just put on my costume. Let me get an exercise room. You know, let me get cool gear or something that makes it easier for me to engage in such a way that I feel like, wow, I can feel successful right from the beginning. So that's a big key, is to find out what is it that about this thing I may be procrastinating about. And, you know, very quite simply, that can often come down to just making the next action decision. I don't need to figure this whole thing out. I just need to know what's the very next thing that'll move me forward so that I can be smarter about figuring it out. Maybe it's just all you need to do is surf the web, or you just need to draft ideas, or you just need to set a meeting with somebody to sort of trigger it. So oftentimes that's why the GTD process, what's the next action, is such a core element. Because essentially, you know, if you have any kind of a commitment out there, you know, whether that's handling your parents' elder care or a birthday coming towards you, or, you know, a vacation that's now on your radar, or a tough conversation you need to have, or any of those things that people will procrastinate about, you know, usually, you know, people don't even want to start to think about it until they can think about it all perfectly and have it handled. Otherwise, they'll feel out of control because, you know, if you haven't thought through everything, simply getting involved in it is going to throw you somewhat into the unknown. So getting comfortable to say, wait a minute, all my mind really needs to do is to figure out what's the next thing I need to do to get clearer about this or to start moving on it. And once you do that, interestingly, the psyche just tends to relax and breathe a big sigh. Oh, I know. The next thing I need to do is just go to the hardware store and get this part. Then I'll figure out, you know, where it fits in the thing. Or the next thing I need to do is just surf the web and find some options for airplane trips. Or the next thing I need to do is just call my sister and get some information about what she thinks about mom. You know, so truly, when you nail it down to that level, there's a part of you that says, wow, I can get engaged. We actually like to be engaged with things productively. You know, those are the good days. At the end of the day, you go, God, look at all the things I did. And there were often little things, but quite frankly, it's all little things.
I love it. That makes it makes you feel like you're moving forward and you're taking that step every day towards whatever your ultimate goal is and whatever you're wanting to accomplish. You kind of keep moving through that system, and I like that whole process of what's next, and you know, really thinking about that makes everything clear.
There's
something about, and you know, I don't know if some of your material talks about, you know, sometimes women may come across with a different set of challenges versus men. You know, I know my husband and I sometimes struggle with this because he assumes that I don't have anything left to do, right? So he's like delegating to me. and yet women in general are, you know, trying to handle, you know, they're juggling all their responsibilities from their home, their family, their health, their work, their business. You know, everything else that kind of comes together. You know, do you do any kind of work specifically working with women, or is it kind of like everybody falls under the same category?
You know, all the issues are the same for anybody that has to keep track of more than one thing that they can't finish the moment they think of it.
True.
You know, it everybody needs this. How important it is to you to actually deal with it and to effectively maybe build in some habits and install some tools and methods like GTD, your inspiration or your motivation to do that may be how much pain are you in if you don't. You know, so a lot of people are just, you know, kind of like it that way. But I have not seen a gender bias. I haven't seen a cultural bias. I haven't seen an age bias on this. You know, I know that the traditionally, at least in the U.S., the sort of traditional woman, especially a working mom who is a mom, you know, who's got all of those responsibilities and all the hats that she may wear in doing that. You know, there's really no difference between a senior vice president that the organization has just downsized and they just took on three new divisions and there's nobody else they can hire and there's no less work, but they got about half as many people and they've got just as many hats that they have to wear in the process. So it's really, there's probably as much difference between you and your neighbor or you and the person in the cubicle next to you as there is between a husband and wife.
Good point. So I'll have to tell my husband, okay, so that's out, so I can't just use the excuse, I have more to do.
Oh, no, go ahead, use, you know, pile stuff up around you, you know, make a fortress, you know, why not?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I wanted to find out if, you know, do you think that there is a limit to the number of projects that you should focus on? Because you've heard the saying that, the times that you do too many things and you're not mastering or becoming an expert or being highly productive in all areas. I mean, is there any kind of rule of thumb with that?
Sure. No, I don't think there's any rule of thumb. I've seen over the years, and this is just anecdotal, I haven't done a lot of deep research in it, but most people tend to have between 30 and 100 projects. And a project in a very broad definition by something that's going to take more than one step to complete that you can finish within a few weeks or months. So if you include things like get tires on my car, research, what camp I want to send the kids to in the summer, hire an assistant, our next vacation, my brother's birthday party, if you consider all of those as projects, most people have 40, 50, 60, 70, and, that's life just like that. You just got that many. You have as many as you have. And I don't know that there's a maximum or minimum number. I think what we've seen is when people start to keep track of them, then there's a part of you that's going to think twice before you say yes. Most people haven't kept track of everything they've committed to, so they just truly overcommit like crazy. If you sit down and start to implement the GTD methodology, one of the things you'll need to do is empty all of that out of your head and start to keep track of what are all the projects you're committed to. And, of course, it's nice to have the someday maybe list so that you can then go through your projects and say, no way I could do that right now, but I don't want to lose the idea. Let me park it over here. So creating a parking lot list of things that you might want to do, though not right now, will help relieve a lot of that pressure.
But
it really is about lifestyle. It's really about, what do you feel comfortable doing? The what I would say is that you're going to be running into stress that's unproductive if you have, if you're not able to, on an every week basis, sit down and look through all of the projects that you're committed to and be willing to say, okay, what's the next step, where am I, and check the status on those. So if you had 500, you'd never do that. It's just too many, and then you'll always feel stressed. But you could, pretty easily, if you start to build that in as a regular best practice, which is another one of the best practices of GTD, is what we call the weekly review, where you sit down and you truly hold the world back for 1 to 2 hours and bring up the rear guard by capturing all the new projects that have shown up, revisiting all the ones that have been around and catching up with the next actions for all of those and kind of getting current with where you are and the status of everything that's open right now you're committed to. If you start to do that on a regular basis, you can manage quite a number of balls in the air and still come out stress-free. But you have to make that a conscious process. So, most people tend to, I think, sort out once you start to keep track of all these things. 40, 50, 60 projects is not unusual at all. I've met a few people with more than 120 and a few people with less than 20. There's no right or wrong about that. And some of those people that have less than 20, 18 of them are huge projects, that any one of them would blow people's fuses. So, it's not so much about the number. It's really more about, is this an inventory that I can stay conscious about and manage and kind of get out to all the edges frequently enough to make sure I'm not missing anything?
Wow. Now, that's perfect. I like that whole parking lot list. The request that other people have on either whether they're asking, time from you or projects from you or I'm asked on a regular basis to participate in that and to attend this and to give feedback here and can you write a testimonial for me here and can you, I just wrote a foreword for someone's book just recently and it's all wonderful and I love being all involved in that. How does a person handle those types of situations where, because I love giving back and being a part of, things around me and other people's success, but there are those times where I'm just a little overwhelmed by the requests. Do you have any ideas of what we can do with that kind of stuff?
My simple answer is, me too. If you come up with the answer, let me know. No, I'm quite literally staring. Literally, I'm staring at about 45 books and galleys I have right now that I have those requests for. I get one a week.
It's a great honor, and I'm really flattered, and but it's like there are times that, and I guess maybe it's just I can't say no, and maybe that's something that I need to evaluate and discover. Maybe
I have to learn
right away.
I have to learn, you know, what's the nicest way I can tell people, you know, can I give you a definite maybe, and, you know, but it might not show up, and here's my situation. And so, you know, I think, you know, that takes a little practice about how to get good at that. And I think ultimately, Darlene, you know, for any of us, it means we need to have some sort of regular review of sort of the higher horizons of your life in terms of your balance. You know, what I call 20,000 feet, you know, is kind of the level that's creating all your projects. What are the 4 to 7 things in your job that you're responsible for, and what are the 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 things about your life that you need to maintain, you know, like relationships and health and your finances and your recreational life and you know, as well as in your work, you know, here's all the different hats that I wear. And coming up with that sort of higher level view about your job and your life and reviewing that regularly and just ask yourself, look, is that in balance? I've forgotten about that. I should take that. So I think, you know, it's another version of going up into the fire tower and, you know, managing the forest instead of hugging the trees. So at some point we have to unhook from the trees we're hugging and the weeds we're down into and step back up and look around. Easier said than done. If you haven't actually sat down and done a conscious exercise of creating the list of all the things you ought to be looking at and thinking about, that's a very healthy exercise, what we call the 20,000-foot list of areas of focus and responsibility. That's a great checklist. Even added to that, what are all what are the things I need to maintain, like, you know, relationships and backing up my computer and making sure the dog is fed and making sure, you know, the lawn's, you know, healthy, et cetera. So there's a lot of maintenance stuff there. But then you have to add to that, okay, and where do you want to go in your life? That's what's the bigger picture stuff, goals, big vision stuff out there, you know, what would wild success look like, as well as, you know, the deeper what's really, really important to your life and you know, why are you on the planet, sort of life purpose stuff. So you're not going to, you know, though people kind of cringe when they go, oh, yeah, I should probably be doing that, but, you know, don't shoot the messenger. You know, I'm not saying that you have to come up with answers to all of that. But at some point, if you are involved in all those in those different levels, then you need to be conscious about them if you're going to create some sort of balance. Because the whole idea of management is the allocation of limited resources. If you had all the time and money in the world, you don't need to manage anything. Just wander around and enjoy life, you know, and deal with it when it shows up. So the whole point of management, my good friend Russell Bishop, by the way, whose new book is out, which is a great book, Workarounds That Work. And, you know, Russell has a way of saying, you know, you're over. Don't think you're overwhelmed. Just think you have a job. You know, there's always more to do than you can do. So it's really all about constantly needing to make choices about should I do that or should I don't. If you say yes to all those requests you get, Darlene, you know, what are you then saying the no to? You know,
yeah,
your exercise.
You're right, because something's got to give, right?
Yeah, something's got to give. Yeah.
You're right.
And the only way you'll feel comfortable about that is being able to see everything from a larger perspective.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. I like that. You know, in your book you talked about, or, you know, the Getting Things Done book, you actually mentioned outcome thinking. And, you know, that's something that a lot of people may, either they can't see that picture or that vision, and you also refer to the power of aligned focus and vision. Do these things sort of relate together?
Yes, they do. I mean, you know, you in a job situation, I mean, when we work with companies and senior teams and executives, oftentimes the issue there is they've everybody's got the priority thing. How do I set priorities? I've got multiple things I'm responsible for. How do I make those choices? That's a universal plea out there these days. And ultimately, if you have to make a choice about something, you have to say, well, wait a minute, you know, what's our strategy? Where are we going? But if the powers that be aren't aligned about that, and if you aren't aligned in terms of where you're going, you know, you should be looking at your project list and hold that up against where do you want to go in your life. Say, is that project getting me there? You know, many of the projects we put in motion at a certain time in my life, when that's exactly the appropriate thing we can think of that would move us where we want to go. And then we find ourselves having gone downstream, and now we're in a new place, but you still have the old project, and you haven't unhooked from it yet. So you need to go back and revisit and say, wait a minute, is that really moving me forward in the way, you know, what's the value to me if that's finished versus the other things? And a lot of things you're going to need to move to someday maybe. you know, or shift around on a regular basis. So that's the only way I think that you really can deal with that. It comes back to, are the things I'm committed to aligned with the things I'm committed to? I know that may sound like double talk, but if you said, look, I want to, in 3 or 4 years, I want to be able to have this kind of discretionary time. I want to have this level of influence. I need to have this number of assets or this kind of lifestyle. And then you say, look, is living in the house you're living in, you know, maybe you should sell, get something smaller. If you want to do that. So ultimately, you know, if you've got, you just need to make sure that what you're doing, ultimately, the actions you're taking or finishing the projects you need to finish based upon the areas of focus and responsibility you have, you know, then tempered by, okay, where you're going, what direction are you moving in, and what's really, really important to you. I couldn't get it any simpler than those, what I've defined as the 6 horizons of focus. You know, at the top is principles and purpose. You know, and then vision below that, and then goals and objectives below that, and then areas of focus below that, and then projects to complete below that, and then all the actions you need to take about any of those things. And those are 6 very different conversations and very different content in those different horizons. So clarifying what those are to make sure that you know, the actions you're taking are lining up with the projects that are lined up with your focus areas and responsibilities that are lined up with where you're going and lined up with what's really important to you. That's what I mean by aligned focus. Because you can commit to a lot of stuff that'll be subliminally stressful to you, even if you got them finished, because some part of you says, yeah, but that's not really moving me where I want to go.
Oh, and I've been there. Believe me.
Yeah, haven't we all? Well, live and learn, you know, but many times it's kind of ready, fire, steer, as we say. You need to kind of start moving and then find out, am I now feeling more expansive or am I contracting because of what I'm doing? And that's oftentimes the inner barometer about whether you're on track or not. Does this feel like an expansive thing to be moving on, or, you know, this is just feeling worse and worse and worse, and I'm feeling less and less like this is the direction. And, you know, it's not often that clear. You know, we live very complex and subtle lives.
Sometimes it's just your intuition, like you're talking about, because that sounds like, you know, that internal dialogue, that feeling that we're getting, if it feels like it is the right thing to continue forward with, or, you know, are you resisting and pulling away? Yeah, I like that. That's a good way to judge whether or not you're, you know, on track, you know.
Sure. Well, I think we all have that still small voice in there. But, you know, it's kind of like trying to tease apart what are all the different voices, you know. If you could just shut up the committee in your head, you'd be a lot much further ahead. You know, because one voice wants to live a grand and glorious life and help everybody on the planet, and another voice just wants to eat sugar. You know, so are those the same people in there? I don't think so.
No, that's funny. Wow, you know, there's just some things that I find myself preoccupied with, and, you know, there's a whole thing out there called social networking. I'm sure you're familiar with it and you've been a part of it. And I've realized, I mean, I really like it a lot. And it's kind of like my candy, right? This is my sugar fix.
Yeah.
I love social networking. You know, Facebook, Twitter, I'm
you
on LinkedIn.
You probably like cocktail parties, too.
Oh, yeah. It's great. And I can just
do it
really
quick. That's all social media
is
a big cocktail party.
It is. And, you know, I've tried really hard to limit my, you know, my presence online and my, and yet I keep finding myself drawn, you know, to go back and check in and see what's going on.
Why
and,
do you want to limit yourself?
Why do I want to limit myself?
Yeah.
Well, because I wonder if, you know, if I didn't do that, if I wasn't doing, you know, all this great networking out there, you know, would I be able to focus on some other projects? I'm sure I could if I shifted some of the time, you know, around a little bit. But I just really love, you know, connecting with other people. And, you know, networking has been my profession, you know, for many years. That's what I've done, you know, for a living is, you know, referred business to others or showcased to other people or promoted other folks and, you know, recommended and endorsed other people. But, you know, I've started thinking about that going, you know, should I put some sort of restriction, you know, on that or not? I mean, do you do any of that kind of stuff? Do you do social networking?
Well, yeah, oh, sure. You know, I just tweeted that I was being interviewed by you right now. So 1.34 million people that just know that I'm on the air with you right now. So why not? You know, I like cocktail parties. They're fun. You wouldn't want to spend your life at a cocktail party, but nothing wrong with it. And you know, that's why I say, what makes you think that you're doing too much? It would only be because there's something else that you do truly consider more important that it's in the way. I mean, I hadn't tweeted much of anything for the last 10 days to 2 to 3 weeks because I just been buried with some very, very significant stuff I needed to handle and deal with. And that's okay. But, you know, I sort of came back to it because, just feel like it. So, you know, there's kind of a challenging thing, and it may be because I just turned 65 that I can kind of be old and cranky and challenging on this. Say, look, just do what you feel like doing. Because if you truly have the guts to do that, and that takes a lot of courage to just go, look, I am just going to do what I feel like doing. What you feel like doing will change. Mm-hmm. If you truly give yourself freedom to do it, but there's, you know, if you don't do that and you keep start, stop, then you wind up being the victim of what we say is, you know, what you resist, you're stuck with. So if you keep worrying about social media, you're already in social media. You're already there. You know, if you truly got engaged in something that was truly engaging to you, and then you suddenly look around like I did and go, wow, gee, I haven't tweeted for a long time, and folks might be missing me out there, or I would like to kind of keep the network warm, you know, or keep the line warm, which, you know, I think is important if you are using that as a way to communicate informally with people and create an intimacy out there, which I enjoy, and I think a lot of people have found valuable, you know, in that regard. But a lot of it is just like, oh, I looked around and went, well, now I feel like doing that. So, you know, it comes back to that intuitive quality where at some point you're never going to be able to find a scientific formula that says, okay, I now need to spend 3.63 hours a day or 3.63 minutes a day doing XYZ. Now, I know some people that they feel like doing that. They feel like laying that out with that kind of structure. I don't. I'm not wired that way. But I think you need to sort of pay attention to both how you're wired as well as, you know, keeping track of all the things we're committed to. You know, back to GTD, you know, ultimately it's going to be difficult for anyone, I think, to trust their judgments about what they're doing or what they're not doing if they don't do some of the basics of get stuff out of their head and clarify projects and actions required and keep all that stuff organized in some sort of, you know, at least informal way where they can step back and review and see all of the stuff and keep themselves current with what they're all about. I mean, you're not going to be able to get away from that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I kind of integrate it into my day-to-day activity. It's just when I feel that need or I want to reconnect or if something's going on. So I almost, it's a secondary, you know, it's just a part of my lifestyle. So, you know, I really enjoy it. So I don't really want to do without it, you know.
Sure.
So it's just one of those things that a lot of times social networking, you can find yourself, you know, spending, you know, an hour or so on Facebook, and you look up and you go, oh, my gosh, it's already been an hour, you know. So sometimes you have to kind of limit, you know, some of the time with that. But I'm glad you addressed that and that I wasn't, you know, totally crazy by, you know, my addiction to being out there.
Well, come on, there's no substitute for awareness. duh, what time is it? What are you doing? You know, is this what you want to be doing?
Yeah. Well, you know, what about, you know, entrepreneurs tend to have a, I call it the SOS, the shiny object syndrome, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they go towards the shiny light and they're like, oh, this looks great, you know, I think I could do that too. And, oh, well, what about this? And next thing you know, they're doing, you know, a ton of different, you know, businesses or they're involved in a lot of different groups.
You call that
crazy making.
They're
volunteering everywhere. You call it what?
Crazy making.
Crazy making. Okay, yeah.
Well, you just know, a bright bubble, you know, it's like, wow, it's shiny, bright, shiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're making commitments about that without a lot of consciousness of constraints or resources.
Mm-hmm. That's something that entrepreneurs, or maybe it's just that they have that creative spark that's, you know, there's something new. And maybe it's instead of, you know, trying to finish the project and see the end results or, you know, stay in it long enough until it becomes, you know, really successful, you know, that they're just starting projects, starting, instead of, you know, continuing to move forward and stay in that. Do you have any advice for some of those folks out there?
Yeah, well, you know, the advice to them is the challenge that, you know, anybody needs on that end of the spectrum, which is making sure you've got enough people and processes around you to hold you in check based upon what you really need to do. I mean, truly, if you had all the money in the world, you got all kinds of deep pockets and times, why not? Absolutely nothing wrong with following bright baubles. Why not? The only thing wrong would be when there's something wrong. And, you know, what does wrong mean? Well, usually it means, you know, you run past your systems or you don't have any systems to keep track of all that. You start breaking commitments. You start wind up undermining, you know, a lot of the ability to reap the rewards of your creativity. And that's just maturity, you know, in terms of, you know, so people who are on that end of the spectrum, you know, the those with short attention spans for whatever reason are going to fall onto that side of the game oftentimes, then, you know, their weak suit is going to be build processes, build structures, and build a support system of people around them that understand that. They're probably not going to change or rewire themselves, but you just need to take advantage of, okay, what are my limitations? What are my weak suits? And then, you know, shore it up. And that's just maturity, you know, both professionally and personally.
Well, and it kind of brings me to the next point of delegation, you know, because I know in a lot of things that you talk about, it's not only listing your tasks within the projects, but then, you know, is it something that you have to do yourself or can it be delegated? And, you know, throughout the years, I've started, you know, bringing more and more help into my business and my companies. And it took me a long time to get to that point, and maybe it was just the control thing that was going on.
Yeah, it could be that. It could also be oftentimes it's self-esteem. It's like, wow, do I really deserve to have somebody that can be a slave or servant? No, truly. You know, I've worked with some of the wealthiest people in the world, you know, as I was coaching them, and they still would have a tough time hiring somebody to be like a housekeeper or to manage their personal affairs. They just feel like, wow, you know, I should be doing that myself. You know, I think there's a kind of, you know, lord and master syndrome that people are afraid of in that regard. So sometimes I think it's just, look, are you really worthy? You know, I think you know, if you're kind of like me, I had to get to the point where I realized I was really hurting other people around me and the success of my business if I didn't give things away. So I know the syndrome, and it can be pretty insidious. And oftentimes you really have to get to that place that says, look, you know, it's not about me. It's about the things I'm trying to accomplish and the people that are dependent on me. I'm not going to be serving them if I'm doing stuff that other people could be doing. I'm not the best player for that play. And that's a constant challenge I think we all have, especially when you get a little more successful and you have resources and you have the ability to expand and perhaps, you know, bring other people onto your team.
Wow, that's a good point. So I'm going to ask you something really personal. You ready?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So tell me, the day in the life of David Allen, what are like the first three things that you might do in the beginning of the day?
Well, the first thing I do is these days, one of the first things I do is weigh myself. I was on a sort of a weight loss program, and I'm just curious about that, kind of watching feedback on that. So, and then I drink a glass of lemon juice or lime juice, sort of clean me out. And then I have a wonderful cup of French press coffee with my wife in the living room, kind of watching, you know, the sunrise early morning, looking out our windows and just enjoying that, thinking about nothing, if you will. And then, you know, pretty much if I didn't do it the night before, I'll probably that morning glance at my calendar, kind of see what the hard landscape is for the day. You know, like, what are the real appointments that I have to do? What are the have-tos? Just getting sort of teed that up inside of myself. And then, who knows, it could range anywhere to anything. I could have an early morning 5 o'clock flight out of L.A. that I need to leave by 3 a.m. to get there, you know, and then flying to London. I could be like I am today. I'm just on sort of wall-to-wall podcasts and interviews and planning meetings and so forth. I was half the day at my office in the cottage behind my house, and then I hopped on my Dutch bicycle and with my little dog in my front basket and rode my 20 minutes on my bike to my office where I am now in my office. And, wall-to-wall stuff. In between all of that, cleaning up my email, I did two or three tweets along the way, just, you know, managing all kinds of things between the lines in terms of delegating emails. And, you know, a lot of processing email is really doing my work and making decisions I need to make and writing back and responding to people that need responses, et cetera. And, you know, that will go on through about 5 or 6 o'clock this evening, and I will trudge my bike back. It's uphill going back, so I'll work up a sweat going back home. And hopefully my wife will come over and take the dog so that I won't have the dog in the basket. That'll add a bit of weight to the bike. So, I mean, if you want to know, here it is. You know, so then I'll go back and probably enjoy a glass of wine and have dinner with my wife and make a little fire in the fireplace and, you know, likely checking in on email and conversations along the way, or maybe not. You know, but I probably will at least check in on, say, okay, what does the next day or two look like, and kind of tee that up in my head to see, you know, what I might need to be preparing for, or at least be ready for in the next morning.
So things aren't completely mapped out and structured.
Oh, I plan as little as I get by with. Are you kidding? No, because things can change any moment, and things can come in. I mean, but I have, you know, I have everything out of my head, and I have all of my lists right in front of me right now in terms of all my projects and, I mean, all the actions I need to take and, you know, what's on the calendar, what's coming up. So all that's there. And, you know, truly, I truly plan as little as I can get by with.
I love that. It gives you that peace of mind, you know, and having things completely out of your head. You know, I always tell my friends, it's like, if you're tossing and turning at nighttime and you can't sleep, just get up and write whatever you've got going on in your head and get it out of your head, and you can forget about it and go back to sleep and rest for the rest of the night.
Yeah, that's absolutely a great first step. Of course, you know, just getting it out of your head is step one. If you leave it on that pad by your bed, it's still not going to help you a whole lot. It'll kind of back up into your psyche again like bad plumbing. So you then need to take that little note and throw that into your own in basket, which you then need to, you know, zero out, you know, every 24 to 48 hours, so that note doesn't lie fallow somewhere. You better decide, okay, are you going to do something about that? What does that mean? And park the results where it needs to be. That's how you keep all that stuff out of your head, and how you just become sort of a channeling machine, if you will, of inspiring and creative thinking, and then constantly reassessing it. See, there are really two parts of us. And I think most people don't realize that most people think you have to create one system for one person, for one thing inside of me. But the truth is, I need a different system for creative ideas and just generating them. I need a different thing for just collecting those together. I need a different point of view and a different system for then making decisions about what those things mean and what I'm actually going to do about them. And I need a different sort of point of view and behavior set about how do I review and take a look at the whole thing and then make executive decisions about where do I point myself. Those are all very, very different behaviors, and they require different tools and different mindsets. So, you know, most people say, well, I just need to get organized. And then what they try to do is sit down and collect everything, decide about everything, prioritize everything, and organize everything all at once and just blow a fuse. I wouldn't do that either. It's way too hard. You know, my process did was tease out what are those discrete different parts of how do I get things under control. And, as a, you know, collecting is very different than organizing. So taking notes on this or in a meeting is very different than going through those notes and deciding what you're now going to do and what you committed to about that and what the actions are you need to take. And that's very different than reviewing all the actions that wound up on your action list. So, that, you know, there's lots of different components to this. Not too many, but it's not just as simple as just a daily to-do list or just make a list.
Right.
Yes, that is good coaching if nobody's ever doing any of that. That is a first very big habit that you need to get into, which is getting stuff out of your head. It's a big habit to change.
You know, I want to talk to you about some of the products that you've created, because I know you've got some just fabulous things that help people become more productive and more tools that are available for people. And, you know, do you want to share, like, what's one of your newest ones that you're working on or that you've introduced lately?
Sure. Well, first of all, if you're not familiar with GTD as a practice or a methodology, of course, the basic manual for that is my first book, Getting Things Done, which you can find on our website. You can find a lot of things on our website, davidco.com, davidco.com. Lots of stuff there in the store that you can see. And there are various kinds of products. Most of the audio products would be support materials about that. If you want a live CD set where me and two of my senior coaches talk about how would you start doing this whole process, a great product we have is if you went to Get GTD Now, GetGTDNow, sort of as one word, .com. You can also get to it through the store, but that's a standalone site that has the sort of introductory educational product around installing GTD and making that, you know, a real thing. It's a, you know, several CDs and some support materials that go with that. And that's a very cool product if you're new to this and want to, you know, have a quick start, a kickstart on it. You know, we have an online membership program that's a huge library of resources in and around all this called GTD Connect. And there's, I think you get a 2-week free pass if you can just go onto that. So gtdconnect.com, or just, you know, surf that, or you can get to it again through our site. Lots of huge amounts of interviews I do with people, lots of support material for people of very different ways, multimedia stuff in there that that people would like. If you're already a GTDer and you know this stuff well, we just came out with a product on GTD and project management. A lot of people, you know, that whole idea of what are projects and how do I keep track of all of them and how do I, you know, what do I do with that and how do I use that? That's a great product as well. Also doing, we have a great CD set on doing the weekly review, which for those of you who are GTDers, you know that's one of the biggest habits to start to install in your life to keep all of this alive and well, is how do you build in that once a week self-consulting reviewing process, and very, very powerful information inside of there. So lots of ways to play.
I love it. This is fabulous. There's so much that you have to offer, and you know, you've just inspired and motivated and just really influenced a lot of lives. You've impacted so many people, and like I said, I want to truly just thank you for the things that you've done for me, even though you don't know you've done them.
Well, you know, it's always nice to know what sticks out there. I never know quite what sticks, because, you know, and so it's always delightful to hear when something lands on fertile ground like that.
Absolutely. And I always recommend to people to go out and get your book, get your CDs, you know, and visit your website again for those people that are wanting to hear it again. It's davidko.com. And he's just got all kinds of interesting things on the site. And, you know, David, I'm so glad that we've had a chance to be together. We're almost at the end of our interview, and you know, you've shared just some great ideas and some, you know, thoughts and things and strategies that a lot of the folks listening to this show today can start doing. And, you know, before we actually wrap up for today, is there anything else that you might want to share with us?
I don't know. I think we covered cabbages and kings. I think we went all the way around the block with all the stuff. Great questions. And these are very universal questions. I think what I'd like to share with everybody, this is a global phenomenon. You know, probably 25, a quarter to a third of the, you know, our interactions through our store and our products and GTD Connect are outside the U.S. It's a growing phenomenon. You know, we're actually in the early stages of formatting and formulating a book for parents and teachers about how to teach kids this methodology, because, you know, any 12-year-old could pretty much do everything that's in my first book. I wish I'd have learned this at age 12. It's not sour grapes. I just, you know, but it's possible.
Yeah, they're kidding.
Stuff to do. I mean, kids can learn outcome and action thinking. They can learn to keep track of things, keep it out of their head. You know, and all these are, anyway, so lots of exciting projects. So, you know, my hope is, and one of my dreams and part of my vision many years ago that's just beginning to start to be fulfilled, is that we create a global, you know, community of people doing and engaged in these best practices about how do we just stay and get free, you know, out of our heads and be able to sort of live better and more constructive and more productive lives for ourselves and all the people we engage with. So anybody that wants to play at any level, you know, come on in, stick around, you know, get in touch. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm GTD Guy.
GTD, you know, Guy?
Yeah.
That's perfect.
So come on in.
This is wonderful. We'll be here to help you with that, and, you know, we'll do what is. I love that vision, and you can definitely inspire, you know, kids that can, you know, reach for bigger goals and they can accomplish more in their life. And, You know, I always thought to myself, you know, if you could go back and do something, you know, when you were younger, if you knew what you know now back then, and it's just how different would life be? And, you know, just having things, being able to get through a lot of your tasks and your to-dos and your projects and, you know, moving forward at a faster pace and being more efficient with your use of time, then I think we have a lot more, you know, leaders that might step up. We might have a lot more, you know, creative thinking that goes on. And I really am, we're going to get behind you and we're going to help with that too. So, yeah, we'll definitely do what we can on our end. And the folks that are listening to our show today and, you know, those people that are, that see the information about, you know, from Accomplish Magazine, I hope that they will also, you know, do what they can to support that that vision of yours.
Cool. And Judy Fox out there, by the way, Judy, I just saw Judy just tweeted. She's listening, and she thinks this is great. So thanks, Judy,
awesome.
for playing on Twitter with all that. Anyway.
Well,
yeah,
again, David,
fun.
This is wonderful. You know, thank you again for being my guest today and, you know, for sharing just so many great, valuable words of wisdom and tips and strategies with us. I'll always remember our time together, and perhaps someday when I host the I'll be there 11/11/11. I'll be coming out to California. You're out in California, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
11/11/11. Is that some auspicious day? Some specific?
Well, I'm also the founder of the U.S. Small Business Conference. I do a 3-day national conference, and so that's our next date that we'll be out in. We're actually going to be in San Francisco, so. You never know. I might call you up and say, "Hey, David, what are you doing?"
Sure. What the heck? Well, you know, interesting. It is a lot of the small businesses and entrepreneurs are. It's a huge market for GTD because, you know, the small business owners. You know, I know I've been one. You know, I am one. And you know, we wear more hats than almost anybody does. And you know, trying to get that together and be able to keep that together while you're growing and going through the growing pains of getting a small business started and getting it up and maintained, you know, that's quite a fire to test yourself in and, you know, a great place to implement the GTD stuff. So if any of you are out there, you know, are wondering whether this would apply to you, you know, it very, very much does in spades.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This has been wonderful. Again, thank you so much. And I can't wait to learn more about the things that you're doing, and I'm sure the folks listening out there in our audience will get a chance to visit your website again, davidco.com, and sign up for your you have a newsletter on there, I'm sure, for productivity, and I think I'm
yes,
on it.
Yes, we
actually.
Do actually. GTD Times, gttimes.com. There is our blog. It's the GTD blog, and we also yes, you're right. We have a newsletter. You just go right onto the website, right on the homepage. You can click on and sign up for our newsletter. It comes out every few weeks and. Nice, good tips and tricks and essays that I write there and sort of keeping
that's
up
fabulous.
With what we're doing.
In fact, I might try to see if we can get an article or two put into the next issue of Accomplish Magazine. That would be great.
Fabulous.
We'd love that. Well, again, David, thank you so much for being with us. And for the rest of the folks on our show, if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we hope that you will mark our show as one of your favorites and tune back in. Typically, our show broadcasts at 10 a.m. Central, although today we decided to do it in the afternoon and try to see what we could do out there in the West Coast, since it's actually not quite that, not the same time zone. But again, thank you so much for being with us, and I'm sure that we'll be connecting again soon. And we'll be replaying this broadcast to all of our friends in our network. And very grateful for everyone who has tuned into our show and has shared everything about the Accomplish Radio Show and magazine. And I hope that people will continue to go out there and accomplish all their dreams. And I look forward to hearing you again and talking to you tomorrow.